Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's that baseball going?
It's good. We're a little disappointed that the roof is not going to be open, but it is also hot. So I get it. I really, really do.
It might overcook the hot dogs, right?
Yeah, that's and that would be the worst thing we could see at the game today. Now, I know there are several things, as is always the case,
right,
to discuss. You saw the fine come down for Jalen Carter, about $57,000, more specifically $57,222. Did that feel about right for you? And do you think in the next collective bargaining agreement we could stop doing things off of game checks and give fines in round numbers?
I see what you're saying. Well, it depends on who the player is, because if it's a guy like him, that's pretty significant, right?
Yes.
If you
yes.
think about what you get fined for a personal foul in a game, it, you know, usually is, you know, not, you know, not what, five figures like that. You know, you get fined a couple $1,000s, maybe $8,000, $9,000, but the whole game check. So that's like getting suspended a game, right? Because if you get
yes.
suspended a game, that's, you don't get paid. And he did not get paid. So I thought, you know, I heard somebody said, well, all he's getting fined was the game he didn't play. And I go, no, he lost his paycheck.
Yeah.
That's significant. So, yeah, that's pretty hefty fine, I would think, for a little bit of spit. I don't think he got his money's worth.
It was not worth
the
it.
Truth.
It definitely was not worth
I
it.
I like that that's your take. It's like, hey, if you're going to get fined, like, really get after
right?
it.
It's
yeah.
like if you get fined for a personal foul, right? Well, make it good, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, yank the guy down by his neck.
Yeah, 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 I got gotcha.
You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I absolutely do.
I do.
Now, Mickey, what goes through your mind when you hear Jadeveon Clowney visiting? Like, what makes you, what do you think? Is, oh, we weren't good enough in the pass rush, or they're just trying to keep eyeballs on all the possible guys that could come through here?
Yeah, I think the latter. I also think you're thinking designated pass rusher.
Yes.
And when you have now right around $37 million available on their salary
right.
cap, you can make a mistake,
yeah,
and you could absorb it, right? That's the difference. And this is one of the deals. Well, I mean, not having Micah's $21 million on the cap, because had they signed him to a long-term deal, if you saw, you know, his cap hit for the first year in Green Bay is like $9 million, something like that. So, you know, but you have money now that you can say, okay, if I got this much on the cap, you know, it's not like I got $10 million and I know I got to keep that because I'm going to have guys going on IR and I'm going to have add guys to 53.
Right.
And there's operating costs. But when you got that much, you can say, okay, you know what, if this works out and the money's right, I could take a chance. You know, Carolina last year signed him to a two-year, $20 million deal with $12 million guaranteed. And now, I read where, well, they're saving $7.8 million this year against the cap. Well, they're also paying $6 million dead money on the
yeah.
cap also
yeah.
On that guaranteed money. So, I think it's, you know, I think I walked by him today.
Oh,
I walked
oh.
by a big, tall guy that didn't have any Cowboys paraphernalia on, or, you know,
gear.
Dress. Yeah,
yeah.
gear. Paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Thank you for
watching that Netflix
that was
documentary.
The 90s. Yeah, that was the 90s, Cowboys. Yeah. That was the 90s.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, he's a big man. if that was him. 6'4", so I think it's worth a look. I mean, he's played for five different teams in the last 6 years, so he's
right.
never stuck anywhere. And I don't know if it was money or if they didn't get the production they thought they were paying for. He had 5.5 sacks last year in 64 snaps for the Panthers. No big deal. But the year before with the Browns, in 2023, he had 9.5 sacks and 57% of the snaps. So, you know, sometimes maybe it's where you've been and who you're playing with, because I would imagine Carolina didn't have much on their defensive front, and they
right.
ended up with two guys, I think. They either drafted somebody high or signed a free agent, so, you know, they moved on. So I think it's worth kicking the tires and, you know, see what kind of shape he is. Because, you know, with those guys, number one, you don't want to bring them in for the first game, because then you're guaranteed the veteran his base
yes,
salary.
Yes, that is what I said in the first segment. You'd be so proud of us.
Way to go. You had it figured out. And the other thing is, those guys don't want to go to training camp.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Does,
they honestly. Think they can just step on the field and play, sort of like Micah, huh? Did you see Dan Quinn's comment?
Oh, no. What did he say?
They asked him, so what do you have to do with Micah Parsons having to face him on Thursday? He goes, well, I'll tell you what, it's a short week. I'd sit him.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, he honestly shouldn't play.
Yeah. Concerned about that back injury.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mickey, after 1 week, do you feel a strength of this? I mean, I know, again, it's 1 week. Do you feel a strength of this team, this defense, is their secondary and their ability to cover? Because they got some playmakers on that Eagles squad, and I'm kind of looking that they didn't get a lot done there.
No, especially, yeah, in the passing game.
Yes.
I mean, A.J. Brown caught one pass, and it was that final possession.
Right.
I think, Dante Smith, two receptions, I think,
yeah.
maybe. The tight end hurt him a little bit.
Yes.
But, yeah, they must have done a pretty good job of coverage or confusing Jaden Daniels, because, you know, I think maybe one or two of his runs were designed. I think the rest where he was scrambling because he had nowhere to go with the ball. I think that, you know, the addition of Trayvon Diggs, and he only played, 27 snaps, I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Something around there. And he was basically on the nickel most of the time. So, I thought that, you know, other than the one post pattern that the guy beat Elam on, I thought he did a nice job. Bland did fine in the slot. They didn't get beat because of their pass coverage. They got beat because they couldn't keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket.
Sure.
I think that, you know, those three guys, now you don't want to go any deeper than that, but those three guys did a really nice job. And they did a nice job with pressure. They just didn't contain him. And you would hope that they work on that this week, because from what I saw, Russell Wilson, you know, first sign of trouble, he's running. He's out of there. He's not looking for his second and third option. He's out of there. So you want to make sure the quarterback doesn't beat you with his legs.
Can I ask? I want to talk about the idea of pressure for just a second, because, you know, I always like it. We've talked about this on the show. I always like seeing a statistic that backs up what I feel like I saw with my eyes. And I know that the Cowboys touted the pressure rate in Thursday night's game against the Eagles. And I understand that the numbers say what they are. But I guess watching the game, I didn't necessarily feel like that percentage reflected the amount of pressure I really thought the Cowboys were getting Thursday night.
So you didn't think they were affecting him in the pocket
I did not, and I know the numbers say that I am inaccurate about that, so I wanted to get your take since, obviously, like, you were there as well.
Yeah, I thought they did a decent job, you know, causing him to move off his mark to...
I think that's a fair... decent is, yeah.
Yeah, and at times having to throw on the run, which he does a really nice job, because... I was trying to remember how many runs he had. He had this, there was three that shouldn't count because it was kneel downs for minus one, right?
Sure.
But I bet he had double-digit carries or close to it, and it was mostly because he was flushed out of the pocket other than those couple called runs. So, there was a couple times that, though, he was in the pocket way too long, and they didn't get in his way. But the other times, they were over-rushing be a thing? Maybe that's a stat where guys get caved inside and you leave the outside open, and you got to stay in your lanes. And it looked like they did a better job the second half than they did the first half, when he was basically, it seemed like, responsible for all 21 of their points just because of him getting outside the pocket. So, again, in this game, you know, Russell Wilson will take off and run. Now, he doesn't run like Jaden Daniels, and he doesn't run like Russell Wilson from, you know, 10 years ago. But you don't want him to beat you that way. I think the hardest thing for a defense is when you think you've got him shut down on third down, and then the guy runs for 10 yards and gets the first down on you. It's got to be demoralizing, I would think.
It absolutely is.
Okay.
I'll say that as a fan.
Okay.
You know, and I'm not even on the field, but I can see that.
This is going to be another fan question then, and Mickey, hopefully you've evolved beyond such petty thoughts. I get mad when the other team, like the team that's playing against the Cowboys, goes for it on fourth down, because I'm like, no, we did it. We stopped you on third down. Punt the ball. I realize that is nothing like what modern football is, but every now and again, I'm like a fourth and two. I'm like, no, we stopped you. You got to punt the ball.
Come on, this you got to punt, right?
Yeah, this is unfair. I got one more question about the numbers.
And nowadays, everybody's going for it on fourth down. Look, it's just ridiculous.
And even in college, it's starting to rub off, right?
Absolutely, and it's unfortunate. But then again, when it's my team, I'm like, we're cowards.
Yeah, look
well,
at us.
I'll down, give you so. A good example. So Missouri's playing Kansas, right?
Right.
And they lose their kicker in the first game because he's trying to make a tackle on the sideline, and he tears his ACL. So they got a freshman kicker, and he hadn't kicked before, I think, you know, in any game. I don't know if he was a red shirt or whatever, right? And it got to fourth down, and I'm going, oh no, go for it. don't
exactly
bump, don't kick, don't try a field goal. And then I just read something, and I must have missed the opening kickoff because they got penalized. They tried to use their punter on the opening kickoff. He punted. It was a 15-yard penalty.
Oh no!
They thought nobody
but
was paying attention.
But then when they re-kicked, he punted again, and the SEC basically grounded that officiating crew for this week.
Oh yes, actually, I did see that.
Because you're not supposed to do that.
Yes, I mean that makes a lot of sense. I had
Sorry.
No, not at all. I appreciate it when you engage in our nonsense. I have one more serious like. What I saw feels like it doesn't match up with the numbers of certain places. I thought that Kenneth Murray was perfectly serviceable in the game on Thursday night, and yet he has a very low grade from Pro Football Focus. So I wanted to see your take on, again, just one game, but the opener for Kenneth Murray.
Well, he tied for the team lead with 9 tackles, right?
Right.
I think what happened, and this is something I heard when he got here, the criticism was he wasn't good in coverage. Okay, he's a linebacker. You know, can I devise a defense where my linebacker doesn't have to cover 10 yards downfield? And I think as we saw, the tight ends were hurting the Cowboys, and I don't know if that had something to do with the linebackers or having to take tight ends or running backs, because I don't know that that's what I want him doing. I want him stopping.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The run. But they did, if you notice in the second half when there was different defensive alignments, they started using Leofau a little bit more, and I was thinking, oh, maybe they, because he's much better in coverage than I think Kenneth Murray. So I'm thinking his overall grade got graded down because of that, possibly when they're looking at, oh, he should have been covering there. And that's just my guess. I didn't go back and look at it, but I'm thinking that's probably what took place.
Okay, right on. Well, we appreciate it. As always, we'll catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right, I'll be here, same time, same station.
There you go. Maybe same time. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus NFL fans are already being petty 1 week in. Next on The Fan.
The 1-0 offering. Swung on, hit high and deep to left center field. Going back is Collins. He's on the track. He's at the wall. He leaps. And it is history. Michael Hellman has done it again. He's tied the game 3-3.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Corey is on a Dulles watch to see if he is out there running the bases. We're live at Globe Life Field, where the Rangers are going for the sweep on the Brewers.
Two quick observations, Kevin. One, Sam Haggerty was running the bases just a moment ago. Adolis has not gotten out there yet. I don't even see him on the field yet.
Oh, but no.
I think he'll be out here shortly. The other observation I have, Jacob deGrom was out here just kind of doing long toss. He was out in, like, almost dead center field throwing to the first baseline. Dots. And it looked like not 100 miles an hour, like, straight into the – like, the glove wasn't even moving. That's just how amazing and talented this dude is.
Don't tell me he's not amped up for his return.
Yeah,
to New York.
He is.
By the way, one more quick football note for you. The Broncos did sign Deuce Vaughn to their practice squad, in case you cared. But we are at Globe Life Field, and I would love to talk baseball all day long. Perhaps the only thing more fun than that is it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. You got Twitch and YouTube available for you as well. And we will incorporate some football in here because NFL fans, it's been 1 week, and they're already spending money to show off their pettiness against their teams. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But, gentlemen, I go to the National Day calendar, and I see National TV Dinner Day is today.
Oh, yeah.
Which everybody's been there, everybody's had to, and it got me thinking about the struggle meal. What is your go-to struggle meal that you either still consume? Maybe it was a college thing, maybe it was a first job kind of situation. What was or is the go-to struggle meal for you? 877-881-1053.
All right. So I'm going to answer, and then I have a side note that I hope does not take away any of your thunder, Corey. I'm going to answer it is the beef ramen noodles with cut up hot dog bits.
Yep.
I still think it's good. It is amazingly effective because you can buy, you know, let's say four packs of ramen, that 8-pack of hot dogs, and that's four meals for you right there. Mm-hmm. And that's probably setting you back maybe $7, maybe for the whole thing, but probably closer to $6. And you can get four meals out of that. And I'm not going to talk about this whole concept, but I always thought that the science that went into making the brownie for Kid Cuisine was so infuriating.
You have to eat your food and then reheat everything so you can make this one.
It was like, that's how I feel like they really, you know how people will argue school doesn't get you ready for real life? Kid Cuisine got you ready for real life because they're like, all right, you need to take this part out, leave the rest in, but make sure you take all the plastic off except for on the brownie. And only once you've heated the rest do you take the wrapping off the brownie.
Yes.
And then you can heat it.
The Kid Cuisine All-Star Nuggets frozen meal, Alec, came with 6 nuggets. It came with a scoop of mac and cheese and a scoop of corn. That's a lot of yellow on your plate. And then it came with a brownie also.
That is a lot of yellow
on your
plate. And it's
$2.99. And as a kid, I was like, this is like, I am eating like a king right now. And
I agree.
And that was it. But I have not. I think we got a couple of them for Avery. And then Adrian was like, we're not doing that anymore. But
look, I'm not here to argue for the nutritional value of it.
I have two struggle meals that I eat to this day. And Lucy, she eats the struggle nachos. It's just cheese with chips. Loves. Yeah. Well, we try to make sure it's real.
Okay.
But what I still stick to is cinnamon toast. One that you make under the broiler in the oven. Mm. That is because it's super easy. You get a whole loaf of bread and then you just put cinnamon, sugar, and butter on it, and you're good. If you can afford the butter. Obviously, sometimes you don't have that, and it's just cinnamon and sugar.
The good news is they've made at least the generic butter significantly cheaper.
But the one that I still will have to this day that I like almost monthly, hot dog on a slice of bread. And I don't have a bun, but I do have a slice of bread. Maybe it's the heel of the bread, too. Like, sometimes the heel is the perfect one.
I'm against that.
If I'm lucky, eating the heel?
Yeah.
Why?
I think it's gross.
You don't eat the crust of your bread either, do you?
So,
but hold on.
No, I definitely do.
A hot dog bun has heel on it.
No, I want to clarify. I shouldn't say gross. That's too strong of a term. It's not gross. It's less than desirable. I'll push off the heel or the bun. So
that's why it's a struggle meal, Kevin, because struggle meal is less than desirable, but you do it anyway because you're struggling.
That's fair.
But yeah,
that
so
is fair.
You get a loaf of bread and you got hot dogs, and that's what, $4 total for the entire meal, and you can eat that for 6 days.
Could you toast?
And maybe if you're lucky, you throw a slice of cheese on there or some shredded cheese, maybe. But most importantly, you got to have some ketchup around.
Ooh, could you toast the heel of the bread, or we always called it the butt of the bread, and kind of make a corn dog situation?
Yes, you
happening?
Absolutely can.
All right.
By the way, if you're really going through the struggle meal, Alec, with the hot dog on the slice of bread,
yep.
You're not using squirt ketchup, all right? You're using packets that you got from something else.
Oh, for sure. Because everybody, I mean, I don't know if everybody does anymore, but we definitely have like the condiment palooza, whether it's in your fridge, whether it's in a
here.
Drawer,
that's right.
Also where you take all the mix-matched plastic silverware that you have left over, because like they'll give you things and you're like, what am I going to use a spoon for
this?
In this meal?
What do I need this?
But you save it.
Man, this, you know, Alec, I think you may have broken the Fantex. I don't think I've seen this many Fantex in the history since the Jerry Dent Sandusky night.
Oh, man.
Oh, what a comp.
Yeah,
that's not company
for totally
I want
different
to be
reasons.
not company I want to be in, but I do appreciate the interaction.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's a weird place to be in, Majors. 877-881-1053. Your struggle meal, your go-to struggle meal. I saw lots of Spam, which my dad would agree with, which he keeps some in the pantry at all times, just because it's one of those things that his parents made it for him. Some fried Spam, and he's like, "Look, I can afford better food than this." But it just tastes like, you know, growing up again. So it's a little bit of a nostalgia hit, if anything. Like, that's why pasta will forever be mine. Like, you can get the cheapest box of Kraft mac and cheese, and I'm like, you know what? I grew up on this. It still hits the same at 24. I do not care.
Do you think it's hard to admit that the nostalgia meal or movie isn't the same? Do you think, like, we unfairly defend these things? Because you're like,
yes.
You know what? I still think it's awesome, even if I don't.
Yes, because I remember very vividly when I went with you guys for Jared's charity dinner, and we were at Nick and Sam's, and I tried their lobster mac and cheese, And I was like, okay, well, I never want to have Kraft mac and cheese again. But that's not fair,
right,
is it?
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, I grew up on this, and it's the best mac and cheese ever because I grew up on it. And then you have that after, and you're like, well, life is disappointing. So, yeah, you realize it's probably not fair, but it's probably not as good as it tasted when, you know, you didn't have a palate back when you were 7 years old.
Hey, that's why it's good to be me.
See, and I respect that, and I still have takes like that, too. Everybody has that one take that you're just like, no, I don't care what you think. It might cost $2, but it's still the best variety out there.
My wife, when we had this conversation about the ramen and the hot dog, she's like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. And she goes, no, but like, really? That's what you want? I was like, yeah.
I'm right there with you. It's just my version of that is the Kraft mac and cheese. Even the ones in the little microwave cup, it's like, I don't care. Still tastes the same to me, dang it. From the 404, ramen with American cheese, hands down. From the 945, this one I wholeheartedly agree. Totino's pizzas for me. Weird rectangle-shaped ones.
Dude.
They are not real pizza, but they're like $1.99 a piece. Mm-hmm. I don't care. They get the job done.
Yeah. The Totino's pizza is legendary for hangover cure.
Killing people. Yep.
Or legendary for being able to have at night whenever you've been drinking and you need something at home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And you didn't want to sit in the drive-thru at Jack in the Box.
Yep.
That's the
when
key.
You want food but thought the two tacos for 99 cents were too expensive, go get the Totino's. The one thing I
when
did like...
When you
want
food but settle for this.
Yeah, they did seem to revolutionize the tiny square pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yes.
On their pizzas. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that.
I'm still a big fan of Tombstone pizza, though. I know
yes.
Red Baron kind of took over, but Tombstone, like that was one whenever I was a kid. I still go back to that, and Adrian's always like, what about the Red Baron? And I'm like, no, it's not Tombstone. So,
Snoopy.
Yeah.
See, from the 817, rice and beans, bro, very cheap, and my mom showed me the ropes on how to make it the right way.
Yes.
From the 214, Hungry Man TV dinner. That takes me back to the COVID days when me and Peyton Russell were running all the Ranger games. That was his go-to. So that would be his entrant if he was a fan of the segment, which he's not, but that's his problem. But let's see. From the 214, got to get an apple every morning from the grocery store for breakfast. It's like $1.20. An apple a day. You know what they say.
Ooh.
From the 972.
Keeps the doctor away.
Yes. From the 972, chili dogs or sloppy joes. I've seen a lot of sloppy joes come in, too. And that's a... Easy struggle dinner right there. Very filling, too. So appreciate the interaction there on the struggle meal for National TV Dinner Day, 877-881-1053. And gentlemen, this is my favorite time of the NFL season. Week one going into week two, because it's time for overreactions galore across social media and every NFL fandom. Everybody is guilty of it. The common overreaction after just one game. And guys, we talked about it. Mike McDaniel might not be in the best of positions in terms of coaches in the hot seat here in the 2025 season. Dolphins fans are already fed up. So much so to the point where a GoFundMe was started this week.
Oh, no.
And no, it's not to get him fired or anything. It was to charter a plane to fly over Hard Rock Stadium this Sunday with a banner that says Fire Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
And the GoFundMe has reached its goal, and the creator of the GoFundMe updated the link to say, quote, the plane has been chartered. The plane will fly over the stadium from 11 o'clock to 12 p.m. this Sunday, right before the home opener, during peak tailgating hours. And it only costed him $900.
That's it?
$900 to get that plane chartered, and he got it all crowdfunded by fellow fed-up Dolphins fans.
Amazing.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's baseball time in Texas, so we will talk with Jared Sandler right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Here's the pitch, and Langford drills one to right center field. On the run is Churio. He can't get it. It goes two hops to the 410 sign. Smith tearing around third. He's heading home. He will score. Langford on the way to third. The throw, not in time. He slides into third. The helmet goes flying off, and the Rangers have a 4-3 lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Globe Life Field right now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. It's baseball time in Texas, so let's talk with our very own Jared Sandler. Jared, how the hell you doing, man?
Guys, I'm doing really well. Okay. How are y'all?
Yeah, excellent. Look, when the team's playing like this, it's hard not to be pumped. We talked about it. I think it feels almost the exact opposite of 2023, where you got the cushion and then you kind of coasted throughout mediocrity for the rest of the season. This year, they have coasted throughout mediocrity for most of the season and now have kind of hit their stride, and they have the potential to get back into the exact same spot.
Yeah, kind of similar to 2015. You're also trying to chase down the Astros,
right? I could see that.
Not apples to apples, but somewhat similar. And they got a big mid-September series against the Astros where the division could change hands. Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of bizarre that, you know, the Rangers at this time with this group are finally making, you know, this consistent push. But, you know, baseball's a weird game. And to whatever degree, you know, I forget who said it, but someone was talking about, hey, maybe it was Josh Smith. You know, when they lost their big dogs, pressure's kind of off. Now it's like, all right, well, you know, we're not fighting the expectations.
Right.
We're just, if we go and we crater, no one's going to say anything other than, man, it was, you know, it's tough to win games without this guy and that guy and that guy. But why not win some games, right? I mean, if they could lose games with the talented lineup they had, why can't they win?
Sure.
Right? So,
and Michael Hellman equals Evan Carter.
Yeah. Someone texted me that yesterday.
You could see the parallels, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, the way my brain works, I look at every like specific detail, right? So like one's like a big time prospect, both guys coming up, you know, around this time,
got some pop,
and just adding life. You know, forget the numbers, just adding life, and gosh, I mean, I don't know that Evan had a two game stretch the way that Michael has. You know, this series taking away a big home run, hitting a big home run, and then, you know, 2 days ago the grand slam and, you know, the RBI double. I mean, that's it's been impressive. It's been fun to watch. And then, you know, even though Alejandro Osuna and Cody Freeman, Dustin Harris haven't necessarily had the production that Michael Hellman has, I just think those guys being around and their energy, their life, their athleticism, all that stuff plays a role and has been really helpful.
Yeah, that energy, that's something Boach talked about consistently with us this morning, is just what the kind of joy they bring to the game. We kind of discussed this a little bit yesterday, and I don't know if you
screw that kid from Oakland, give Michael Hellman the rookie of the year.
Yes,
I
exactly.
Hear what you're saying.
No, the conversation of, all right, I'm fast forwarding a lot here.
Or the
A's. But we do get to the end of this thing, and we are in the playoffs. Do we dance with what brought us, or does Boach say, no, I gotta go back to my key stars?
You know, I was saying about that. In fairness to the Freeman, Osuna, Harris trio, I don't know that those guys have performed at a level where it's like they got to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
Now, let's see what Michael Hellman's doing in the next few weeks, but he has performed where he would be in there, right? Now, he would be in the Evan Carter role. I don't think Evan Carter would be ready when the playoffs roll around. I'm not even sure that he'd be ready, you know, at any point. I am not positive about that. Marcus Semien, I don't know when he could make it back. There could be a spot for Cody Freeman, right? I think he'd play, but Michael Hellman could be in there regularly, especially if he's going to hit righties, you know, if it's not just going to be confined to, you know, success against lefties. But, yeah, I mean, Corey Seager, he's in the lineup. Adolis Garcia, he's in the lineup.
All right.
And, you know, I don't think
you're trying to squeeze people
I don't
out.
Think, I'll
only
say this:
room for one Corey in here.
The Rangers are winning in spite of those guys not being in the lineup. And I know you guys know that, but like, gosh, what was it? I don't know. I think about Dak and Cooper Rush. Like,
yeah,
I just want to make it abundantly clear. If anyone's
you don't
unsure,
think Cooper Rush is
Yeah. The Rangers are winning in spite of those guys not being here. And I think that when they come back, I don't think it will take away from anything. I think it will just be additive.
I know there were minor league deals, but can you kind of walk me through the line of thinking for people like Cal Quantrill and Donovan Solano, who would not even be eligible for the postseason roster if you made it? Is it just like a stopgap just in case you need it to get you through the regular season?
Depth, yeah, depth.
Okay.
You know, like what if you, yeah, what if you have another injury?
Okay.
And you're one, like, you're already pretty thin right now as it is.
Yes.
And so I think it's for that purpose. And then obviously, you know, come playoff time, you go with, you know, whatever you have who's eligible.
Is it fair to still have a pretty high level of angst about the bullpen? Like, I know they got the job done yesterday, especially when Leiter, you know, ended up needing to go out. But even Armstrong, when he shut it down, you give up that immediate run, yeah. And you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
No, I think it's fair. I'll tell you, the Rangers would really benefit from, like, a big win, or if they are going to lose, a loss where they don't need to use any of, you know, their top. Because if you can take today and tomorrow, a couple days off for leverage arms at this time of the year, any little extra juice you can get is huge. I'll say, you know, another injury that's kind of critical, Danny Coulomb. When he clearly wasn't fully right. You know, you don't go from having the, you know, one of the best ERAs over the last 3 years from any reliever to, you know, being hittable the way he kind of was towards, the time leading up to his IL stint and his absence. But
would that trust factor come back immediately then?
I think it would have to.
Okay.
I don't know that, you know, he's pitching in the ninth, but I think it would have to.
Okay.
Chris Martin's return is huge. I understand, though, they do not have a traditional 98-mile-an-hour flamethrower who, when he jogs out of the bullpen, your body goes crazy with excitement.
Right.
And that if you're on the other side, you envision the other guy shaking in their boots. They don't have that guy. And they also don't have the guy who's playoff-tested, right? They don't have the guy who has a track record in the playoffs. Now, in fairness, the 2023 Rangers were carried largely out of their bullpen by Spores and Leclerc. Those guys didn't have that playoff track record.
Yeah.
Chapman did, but Spores and Leclerc didn't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know that it's a requirement, but I think it makes you feel a lot better.
Yeah.
We didn't feel great about the bullpen going to the playoffs in 23.
No, absolutely.
But they had Maddux, and that makes you feel pretty good.
Look, and the other thing, too, sorry. I don't know what's going to come of Tyler Mahle. I don't know what, you know, but, like, the guys, Jacob Latz, if you go to the playoffs, probably isn't making a playoff start for you. I guess, you know, you go Kelly, Leiter. Well, maybe Latz over Corbin. I don't know. But you can, you know, with Mahle and Corbin and Latz, you can try figure out ways to also boost your bullpen that way, even if not necessarily at the back end.
Because if we make these big fingers crossed hopes about Evaldi, we're fooling ourselves if we're talking about before, like, the ALCS or something like that, right?
Yeah, I don't want to say anything definitive because I don't know. But I don't get the sense that he's back for the wild card round. I don't get the sense he's back for the DS.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in what capacity is he back? Is he back in a five-inning capacity? Or is it, hey, Evo, give us the best three innings you got, which you'll take. But I don't know. I don't know what. It's not that you can't have sim games, live BP sessions. But at that time of the year, there's no, there aren't games for you to play in.
Right.
Yeah, and you know that as competitive that guy is, he's going to be like, no, give me all eight innings. Give me nine innings.
Yeah.
I'll go do it if that's what you need, coach.
Yeah, him and Simeon were the two I've asked Bochy about. It's like, hey, do you have to watch them and be like, hey, but seriously, tell me if you're not okay because I don't
like,
want you to get hurt, hurt worse. And
I guess then if that's the case, that would leave a spot open, I don't know, Corbin, maybe Leiter. We saw a video this morning, MLB Networks talking about, hey, I can't wait to see him next year. How valuable...
That was prior to last night.
How valuable has this season been for him? And does he...
Huge.
Do you think he's like... He knows that.
Yeah, huge. The thing that has impressed me about Jack is that no matter whether he is pitching well or not, he understands... Like, people can say the right things. It's like, you know, someone's... Their teeth are clattering. They're like, yeah, I'm not scared. Like, you can say one thing.
Yeah.
Jack, like, you just feel it. And you see it every 5 days. Like... He knows that this is all a part of a process. He knows that he's going to have a night like last night, which wasn't the worst. It just kind of... But it wasn't another step of progress.
He had been rolling.
Yeah. I think he understands. I think this year's been huge for him to stay healthy. Not that there are health concerns.
Yeah, absolutely.
But to pitch as many innings as he's pitched to set a foundation for next year. And then just to experience the struggles, but also the success to understand, like, yeah, this works and that works. And, you know, I talked to G-Bag about this yesterday. I understand the whole, like, it doesn't matter how hard you throw. If you throw down the middle, these guys can hit it. That's true. But if you throw 92 down the middle, that's going to get hit a lot harder and a lot more often than 98 down the middle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say he does miss. His stuff is so good. If he's missing in the zone, he'll get away with it more than others. So I think that there's just a level of confidence. Like, someone told me the other day, like, I felt confident as a skier once I knew that when I was kind of losing balance, I could figure it back out, right? I think for Jack, it's that level of confidence. Like, hey, when things are going a little off kilter, I can normalize, I can get it back on track, and I'm going to be fine during that, you know, batter-to-batter transition where I'm trying to refigure out or refine what I'm trying to do.
He's not out there trying to prove it to the world with every
sure.
pitch like he was
yes,
when he first
especially
got up.
In the first inning. I know this happens all of the time in sports, but the juxtaposition of him and Rocker still fascinates me to no end, where Leiter was the guy, and then we got Rocker. And then last year, it was like, oh, Rocker is the future. Leiter, I don't know. And now it feels like it's crossed back to, we'll see about Rocker. But this Leiter,
he'll have his place at some point.
It's very bizarre to just see that kind of crisscrossing.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, and every team's probably got their version
of
that. You know, I'm trying to think. I mean, heck, with the Rangers, like with Evan Carter, he's the future. And then it was like last year, it's like, no, like it's Langford. And who knows, is Carter even on the team? And then, you know, unfortunately, Carter's had, you know, a tough time staying healthy. But like when he's been healthy, it's a reminder, no, this guy can be
right.
This or that. But I do think there's absolutely a place for Rocker. And here's the thing. At no point, and this might be unfair for me to say, hey, by the way, Adolis is jogging. I know Boach said
excellent.
You could go
Thank
down
you.
There with him.
Thank you. All right.
Rocker was always, to me, going to have some sort of a stopping point this year because of the lack of innings.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he's not a part of the mix right now is not, maybe it's a reflection that he wasn't dominating this year. I don't think it is in any way, shape, or form a reflection of what he is or isn't going to be moving forward. He might go one direction. He might go the other direction. But we did see flashes where it's like, that's pretty impressive, right? And I think you feel good about building upon that.
Well, we appreciate, as always, you. I always tell people, not just the Rangers, you know more about baseball than anybody, except for maybe Boach. Anybody else that I know.
Point.
So thank you very much.
Boach, and then if anyone is listening, like, around the clubhouse, any of you guys, too, any coach, I don't know.
I don't know about that. Craps.
I like how he acknowledged the Boach part. He was like, that's a good one right there.
No. In your face, Steve.
And Eric.
All right, thank
but
you.
Not Bass.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you very much, Jared.
Wow, not Mike.
I mean, you knew he was going to say that.
No, that makes Bassick, sense, though.
Hey, can I tell you, Bassick's been, it's so fun. He really, he knows this game so well. It's really impressive. Just want to throw that out
Wow,
there.
Really, really glad that you sat down for that
found on the
moment
way.
There.
Yeah,
sorry.
All right, coming up next,
that.
Scouting the Giants right here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.